In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is ever shining.
There's a saying of which most of us are familiar, which says, they were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. We use this saying to describe a random negative event that happens to someone, to acknowledge that the person did not bring it upon themselves in any way. And though this may accurately describe some events in life, it really doesn't help us formulate a strategy how to proceed through life. It doesn't help us approach life with any greater degree of preparedness. And at times I'm afraid that we let sayings such as this govern much more of our life than it really should. As Christians, we have things that are supposed to govern our lives, but we often take popular sayings and notions, and they often affect us in far more ways than we would ever imagine. As Christians, certainly our goal is not to simply not be in the wrong place, that we don't make that the way we approach life. And yet sometimes I think we often kind of have this impression. When negative things happen to Christians, we seem to think we were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And next time, I need to be in the right place instead of the wrong place. And if I simply am in the right place next time, maybe that negative thing will not happen to me. But there is one thing that we must be certain of in this Christian life. And that is, when Christians have negative experiences, much of the time, they're not random at all. When Christians have negative experiences happen to them, we need to recognize that much of the time, those Christians are being targeted. Christians are singled out and attacked by a silent and an invisible enemy. That enemy, of course, is the enemy of our souls, the devil who roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to recognize that the enemy of our soul is constantly at war with us, and he seeks nothing less than our own destruction. The Apostle Paul warns us about this whole context of the spiritual warfare that we live in the epistle text to the Ephesians today. We all know that when we speak of the church, we refer to all believers of all time, those who have departed this life in Christ, and we refer to them with a special designation, that they are the church triumphant, meaning that they have passed through the struggles of this life, they have entered into that realm of triumph in the afterlife. But then the realm of the living, who are believers and followers of Christ, we belong to the church militant. And that label, as simple of a designation as it might be, it's reminding us of a spiritual truth. It's reminding us that the Christian life includes a military service, so to speak, that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle, and we must fight those battles. And we don't get a vacation from the spiritual battle that the Christian life entails. There are things that are worth fighting for in this life, in this world, good things that we need to fight to protect. And likewise, there's higher ground in our own experience of life that we have not yet attained. And the only way we attain that higher ground is with the effort, with the struggle, with the fight. By making that effort and by God's grace, we can reach that higher ground and experience new things in this life. But there is ultimately no neutral ground in the spiritual war that we are a part of. And that is simply because the devil doesn't abide by any treaties. We have to recognize he doesn't play fair. He is always scheming against us, and he never takes a break from this evil scheming that he's always plotting. And just because we're not engaged in a spiritual battle, the battle may not be fierce in our present life at this present moment, but we must ever remain vigilant, because all that means is simply around the corner, a battle's coming, an attack is coming of the evil one. We often become confused about our enemy. And oftentimes it is the case that we forget that the enemy that we are truly fighting is this unseen, invisible power of darkness. We often mistakenly label people in our life as the enemy. And thus the other people, whoever has done ill towards us, they're the target. They're the evil one that is coming against us. But we need to recognize what the Apostle Paul says in the epistle text so clearly. We have to take this to heart and understand what he's speaking of here. And that is simply that we're not warring against flesh and blood. We don't fight against other people. People are not the enemy. The evil one and all of his minions, they are the enemy. not the people that are in our life. We have to recognize that behind any evil word that comes our way, behind any evil action that comes our way that is administered by a person, we have to recognize behind all of that is the scheme of the evil one, the devil. And what this means for us is simply that the fight that we engage in is not with the people in our lives. So take, for example, someone says something evil about us. They attack us with their words. Then what do? We don't necessarily fight back with words. It's not that we're always silent in every context. Some context, it's an appropriate context to have words exchanged and things need to be said sometimes. But the point is, we don't make that other person the target and fight back with our words. They've attacked and we're going to counterattack with our words. No, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. We need to learn to fight with the spiritual weapons that are given to us. And so we take, if we have been attacked with words, what are the appropriate words we turn to? We turn to the Word of God, for example, the Scriptures, and find that it is a weapon to us, not to turn on the person, but for us to find in our own life the guidance and the help and the support that we need. We turn to the words of prayer and pray for that individual, pray for the situation. We turn to things like faith and righteousness and truth. And these are the things that we find comfort in. These are the things that we arm ourselves with. Certainly, every one of these things that the apostle names in the epistle text is important. I want to consider just briefly that shield of faith and how important that is. Because we have to recognize that the enemy, after all, with all of his might, he is trying to rock our faith. He's trying to make our faith topple upon itself. And the truth is, from time to time, we're going to experience doubts in this life. We're going to have attacks upon our faith in this life. We're going to recognize it, and sometimes we don't recognize it. But one of the things we must understand is many times what rocks our faith is the fact that our faith is misdirected. Our faith is not where it's supposed to be, because we have misplaced our faith in men, in princes and the sons of men, as the psalmist says. There's no help there. Our help is from the Lord. We have to place our faith only and securely in the Lord. And so it goes that the person that we look up to, when they inevitably disappoint us or do something stupid or do something that hurts us or do something that's evil, then our faith is shaken and we rock and we topple. And why is that? Because we have placed our faith in that person, not in, ultimately in Christ himself. And we have to learn the lesson that our faith belongs only in Christ. That's the only secure place for our faith. Because people in this world will disappoint us. People in this world will do us wrong. People in this world are going to fall from the pedestal on which they stand and the pedestals that we put them upon. We have to recognize that when our faith is in Christ, that is when it's secure. That's when it's unshaken. And so the first thing is, when we have our faith being rocked and shaken like this, we have to recognize our faith is probably misdirected. And where must our faith be? And when our faith is wobbling, when our faith is faltering and we recognize that, it's time to take up that shield of faith and to fight. It's not time to give in and cave in under the toppling faith. It's once again time to remind ourselves what we believe, to remind ourselves ultimately who we believe. And it's time to fight the fight against those doubts, to fight the fight against a misplaced faith, and to put it where it belongs. You see, doubts do come our way. It's not a wrong thing. It doesn't mean something's wrong with us because doubts come our way. Just like, you know, anger and so many things that we can say, I'll never be angry. Well, that's not the solution. We're going to get angry. It's how are we going to deal with these things? All of us are going to have doubts in our life, but how do we deal with the doubts? That's the issue. What do we do with the doubts when they come? And they are the darts of the enemy, and we must understand that we can't let them penetrate our life. And thus we have to take up that shield of faith and fight the fight to believe rather than just caving in under his assaults. We are to fight, but we fight a spiritual battle. We are to be prepared, but not by stockpiling physical weapons. We prepare ourselves spiritually. We arm ourselves with the weapons of spiritual warfare, and we put on the armor of God as the apostle instructs us. I mean, think about this. No soldier walks around a war zone unarmed, unprotected, unprepared. They're vigilant. They're alert. They're prepared. They have their gear in place. They have their helmet secured on their head. They have their rifle in hand. They know the context that they're living, and they're prepared, and they're alert. And yet, so many times, we as Christians walk around the war zone of the spiritual life unprepared, unprotected, unarmed. And then when the attacks inevitably come, we wonder why we are taken out in the whole context of the spiritual battle that encompasses us. And simply because we walked out unprepared, unarmed, without our armor on. We need to change this. We need to be prepared. We need to prepare for the inevitable battle that's coming, and thus learn the process of arming ourselves with the weapons of spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God. We can't act as foolish and unprepared believers. Christians must fight the good fight. Christians are engaged in spiritual battle, whether we want to be or not. The reality is there is a spiritual battle, and it's going to come to us because the devil is seeking our destruction. It's just that simple. The enemy of our soul never stops plotting against us. As a lion, he seeks to exploit our weakness and to devour us. So we must not be foolish. We must not be unprepared. We must do something about this reality by following the apostles' instructions. We must put on the armor of God to protect ourselves. We must take up the weapons of spiritual warfare and be ready to fight. This nativity season is a time for us to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. It's time for us to reflect on our lives and the things that we should be doing. It's time to stop the sinful and foolish things that we may have been part of. It's time to turn away from the trivial things in life and to ask the bigger question of what really matters in this life, what's really important, and how can I give myself to those things that are truly important value. We need to recognize very clearly that the devil, our enemy, has already done this. He knows what truly matters in this life, and rest assured, he's doing everything in his power that really matter in this life, to distract us with the trivial pursuit, if nothing else. And certainly at the greater end, he wants our destruction, nothing less than that. But he'll settle. If he can't attain our destruction, then he'll settle in our distraction, getting us caught up in the things that don't matter and getting so worked up over things that are so trivial at times. The devil knows what matters in this life, and he's fighting against our discovering what really matters in this life, and certainly against us attaining that which really matters in this life. He schemes and he does everything in his power to keep us from attaining those things that Christ would have us discover in this life. He seeks to raise us up, and the devil fights to keep us down. We need to focus on what really matters in this life. We need to recognize that we're in a context of spiritual warfare. There are things that are worth fighting for, and there is higher ground that we can attain. But we do have to fight to get there, because the devil will not stop fighting against us. So don't live your life unarmed. Don't live your life unprotected. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God. Take up the spiritual weapons and stand against the plots of the evil one. By the grace of God, fight the good fight that is before us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.